Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on polishing an air horn hit for heavyweight sub impact in jungle and old school DNB. Now, I know what you might be thinking. An air horn? Really? But in this style, that sound is not just a joke or a meme. Used the right way, it's a rude little punctuation mark. It can make a drop feel bigger, nastier, and way more energetic. The key is making it cut through the mix without wrecking your sub or turning the whole thing into harsh noise. So in this lesson, we're going to shape a horn hit so it lands with attitude, sits on top of a roller bass line, and still leaves space for the kick, snare, and sub to do their job. We'll keep it beginner-friendly, but the ideas are proper DNB workflow. First thing, choose a good horn sample. Start with a sample that already has attitude. You want a solid attack, some mid-range body, and ideally not too much built-in reverb or long tail. If the sample feels weak before processing, that usually means it'll still feel weak later. Processing can help, but it can't completely rescue a boring source. Good options are a classic rave horn, a dancehall style one-shot, a synth brass stab, or any horn sample with a clean transient. Don't overthink it too much, but do pick something that sounds sharp and confident. Now drag that horn into a new audio track in Ableton Live 12. If needed, turn warp on, and for horn sample, Complex Pro is often a safe starting point if you're stretching or syncing it. Also, pull the clip gain down a bit, maybe around minus 6 dB, so you've got headroom to process it properly. At this stage, think about placement too. In jungle and old school DNB, horn hits often work best on the first beat of the bar, right before a snare fill, or at the end of a phrase as a big tension moment. You want it to feel like a statement, not something floating in the background. Now let's build the processing chain. A very practical stock Ableton chain would be utility, EQ8, saturator, compressor or glue compressor, drum bus or roar, another EQ8, then a little reverb or hybrid reverb, and maybe a limiter at the end for safety. Start with utility. This is just for level control and stereo control. If the horn is too loud, bring it down. If it's super wide and messy, narrow it a bit. In a DNB mix, too much width can make the horn feel disconnected from the center heavy kick, snare, and sub. So if it feels too big and blurry, try narrowing it or even going mono if necessary. Next, at EQ8, this is where we make room for the sub. A horn hit usually doesn't need much low end at all. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz as a starting point. If it's a heavier horn, maybe begin lower. If it's bright and flimsy, you might go a bit higher. The idea is simple. Let the sub own the bottom, and let the horn live in the mids. If the horn sounds boxy, reduce a little around 300 to 500 Hz. If it's harsh, listen around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If it feels dull, a small boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz can bring back presence. But go gently. Always listen in context with the drums and bass, not just in solo. Now add saturator. This is where we make the horn feel thicker and more exciting. A little drive goes a long way. Try 2 to 6 dB of drive and turn soft clip on. Then match the output so you're not just fooling your ears with volume. Saturation adds harmonics, which helps the horn read better on smaller speakers and gives it that tougher old-school edge. If you want it dirtier, you can push it more, but stay in control. We want rude and punchy, not painful and brittle. If the horn has a big transient spike that feels too aggressive, add a compressor or glue compressor after that. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 is a good starting point. Use an attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds so the front of the hit can still punch through, and a release around 50 to 150 milliseconds. You're usually only looking for a few dB of gain reduction, just enough to keep the hit solid and controlled. Now for character. This is where drum bus or roar can really help. Drum bus can add density and grime, but be careful with the boom control. For an air horn, you usually do not want extra low-end resonance, so keep boom off or very low. A touch of drive and maybe a little crunch can make it feel much more like it belongs in a rave system. If you want a more modern edge, roar is great too. Just keep it subtle. The goal is to give the horn attitude in the mids, not to flatten it into a fuzzy blob. After that, use another EQ8 for final cleanup. This is where you catch anything that was created by the saturation or distortion. Maybe a bit of mud showed up around 200 to 400 Hz. Maybe the top end got too sharp around 3 to 6 kHz. Clean that up. If you need a tiny bit of air, you can add a gentle shelf above 8 or 10 kHz. But be careful. Too much brightness can turn the horn from powerful to annoying very quickly. Now let's talk about space. A horn in DNB usually works better with just a little room, not a huge wash. A short reverb or hybrid reverb can help it feel dramatic without losing impact. Try a decay around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds, a little pre-delay around 10 to 30 milliseconds, and keep the wet amount low, often around 5 to 12%. Also, high-pass the reverb so the low end stays clean. If possible, use a return track for reverb instead of loading loads of reverb directly on the horn. That way, the horn stays punchy, and you can still send a little atmosphere into the space around it. And if your processing chain is aggressive, finish with a limiter just to catch peaks. Keep the ceiling around minus 1 dB. This is just a safety net. If the limiter is doing loads of heavy lifting, something earlier in the chain needs adjusting. Now here's the most important part of the whole lesson. The horn has to hit with the sub, not fight it. This is all about contrast. A heavyweight sub doesn't need help from the horn in the low end. The horn should be bright, rude, and decisive in the mids, while the sub stays clean and centered underneath. So keep the horn high-passed, keep it short, and place it where the sub has room. Good spots are the first beat of the bar, just before a snare fill, right after a break chop, or on the final bar before a drop. If the horn and sub are both busy at the same moment, consider shortening the bass note, lowering the bass a touch, or just making the horn thinner and more mid-focused. A really useful beginner mindset here is this: the horn should be a punctuation mark, not the sentence. If you want the horn to feel even better in the arrangement, use automation. You can automate gain, reverb send, saturator drive, or even EQ movement. For example, on a two bar fill, you might keep the first hit drier, then add a little more reverb on the second hit, and then lift the final hit slightly for extra tension. That kind of movement is what makes edits feel alive. You can also layer the horn with a short impact if you want more physical weight. Keep it simple. Maybe a muted tom, a clicky percussion hit, or a tiny reverse cymbal leading into the horn. Just one extra layer is enough to give it more presence without adding mud. Always test the horn in the full mix. Never judge it in solo only. Loop the drums, sub, and bassline together, then mute and unmute the horn so you can really hear what it's doing. Ask yourself, is it cutting through? Is it too harsh? Is it masking the snare crack? Does it add energy, or does it just sit there taking up space? If it disappears, try a little more mid-range presence, a touch more saturation, or less reverb. If it's too harsh, reduce the high mids, back off the distortion, or shorten the tail. If it's muddy, raise the high pass cutoff and clean out the low mids. A few common mistakes to avoid here: leaving too much low end on the horn, using too much reverb, over-distorting it until it hurts, making it too wide, or placing it everywhere in the track. If every bar has a horn, it stops feeling special. Use it like seasoning, not wallpaper. For darker, heavier DNB, spacing matters a lot. Even a tiny pause before the horn hit can make it feel huge. A small gap in the drums or bass gives the horn room to slap. Also, a horn often works better after a rhythmic phrase rather than right on top of everything. That little bit of call and response between drums, bass, and horn is classic jungle energy. Here's a simple practice exercise you can try right now. Build a four-bar edit. On bar 1, play drums and sub only. On bar 2, add one horn hit on beat 1. On bar 3, repeat the horn, but automate a bit more saturation. On bar 4, add the horn hit plus a short reverb throw leading into the next section. Then compare a dry version, a dirtier version, and a more spacious version. Listen for which one cuts best, which one keeps the sub cleanest, and which one feels most jungle or old school. And if you want to push it further later, try a two-stage horn phrase: a filtered intro into the hit, a reverse swell, or a pitch-shifted duplicate buried quietly underneath. Those little tricks can make the horn feel more like a proper edit tool and less like a random sample. So to recap, choose a strong horn sample, high-pass it so it doesn't fight the sub, add saturation and light compression for weight, keep the reverb short, and place it in the arrangement like a powerful accent. Test it in the full DNB loop, not just in solo, and let the horn act like a sharp, rude interruption against a deep, controlled foundation. Do that, and your air horn stops beating a joke sound and starts becoming a proper roller energy weapon. Bright enough to cut, short enough to stay clean, and heavy enough to make the drop feel massive. That's the vibe.